everyone. Welcome to today's episode of Heart, Home, Faith. I'm your host, Olivia, and today I'm talking with the host of the wildly popular mom podcast, Laughs and Littles. Today, the hosts of Laughs and Littles are joining me. So, Annie and Sarah are coming to you on Heart, Home, Faith as we talk about all things Catholic motherhood and vocation. This is a great episode, and I can't wait for you to hear it. So, let's dive right in. Hi, Annie and Sarah. Welcome to Heart, Home, Faith.
Hi.
I'm so excited you guys are both here.
Thank you so much.
This is fun.
This is the first time that I've ever done a Zoom call with kind of three people. So we're going to get the hang of it, guys. But just jump in, talk to me, share. Don't worry about like interrupting or anything. It's just a conversation. You guys are good at that. So anyways, I wanted to talk to you about your podcast about Laughs and Littles and about how that has really like helped you to explore your vocation of motherhood. So that's kind of the direction we're going to go in. And I think that, you know, most of my listeners are moms. So they've probably stumbled across you. And if they haven't, they're about to. So that's pretty awesome and really exciting. I love this podcast connection that is happening these days among Catholic podcasters. So I guess my first question for both of you, or whichever one of you wants to answer, is that, you know, your podcast is all about like real life. You're all about real motherhood and like real authentic friendship. And so, you know, knowing that, I'm really curious, what role does friendship with other Catholic women play in your vocation of motherhood and family life? If you can answer that wordy question.
Yeah. I mean, for me, I was just thinking, really, who else would I have to talk to about the challenges in my life, in parenthood, in my marriage? Even I like texted Sarah the other day that my husband, his name is Alex. I was like, oh, Alex is like really hurt by something I said. And I like laid out the scenario, and this is where having like a good Christian, you know, or Catholic friend is helpful, because they're pushing you to be better, and they're not just going to say like, oh, like whatever. She was like, oh, well, you know, yeah, that's a hard situation, but yeah, like he has a point, and here's a great compromise. And it was so helpful, and like completely calmed me down, and I like called him, gave him the compromise, and he was like, yeah, that's all I needed. And like, they just changed my whole day just from like a super quick text conversation, where like in this digital age where people are throwing their like really personal, I mean, we're sharing really personal stories here, but like sharing their personal problems on like social media, asking for help from strangers. And, you know, if they're getting great help, wonderful. But I think we really need to be letting friends into our lives more.
Oh, I agree with you completely. That's actually one of the reasons why I started Heart, Home, Faith, was because back in my early 20s, I got married really, really young. And then I got pregnant really quickly in our marriage. And so I ended up being a new mom with a new baby who like had no friends in the same stage and phase of life. And I was so isolated and unhappy and sad. Like, we need each other. And so I love that you guys are sharing your friendship with each other. Sarah, did you want to add anything to what role friendship plays in, you know, your vocation?
Yeah, I think you'd kind of just be echoing what Annie said, that I don't know how I would be doing this vocation without good friendships. Yeah, like women I can talk to about NFP challenges and parenting stuff and my spiritual life, and like all of that feeds me and makes me feel, yeah, not alone when those things are challenging. 'Cause it's really hard. Yeah. And we all need encouragement and community. And for me, I mean, it's like, obviously my friendship with my spouse, but that's not enough, right?
Right. Yeah. They can only do so much. Yeah.
So really through friendships.
Yeah. So it's funny you said that because this, like, I'm so blessed. I kind of stumbled into this women's group that I've been a part of for like 5 years now, which is really mm-hmm. awesome. So these seven women have really just grown together. And we felt like even through this pandemic, like we're so glad that we've been together for this lengthy amount of time because mm-hmm. like it stinks that we're not, you know, sitting at each other's tables once a month and having a meal all together, but like mm-hmm. having a Zoom call and being able to ask for prayers and being able to really like connect in this way through, you know, we're NFP struggling, we're surprise mm-hmm. pregnancy-ing, we are, I know, we're dealing with the stress of, you know, trying to manage COVID life and home and making big decisions. And I cannot imagine life without these women because my husband, he cannot fill me up in that way. Like we are made to be in communion with other people. And of course that extends to my husband, but like he can't be everything.
He can only look at your chart so many times and try and decipher what's going on.
Well, now he doesn't. He's like, hey, you're pregnant. This is when it's easy. Get, like, well, get ready because it's about to get really hard.
Yeah. So,
anyway. I love talking about NFP. I actually love NFP, but it's also really, really hard. So
yes,
anyways, yeah. But yeah, like these women and having these friendships where you have more than just a social media connection, because as mm-hmm. much as we love social media and as much as we rely on it, we know that it's just a facade. Whereas like when you find the people mm-hmm. you can be yourself with, I feel like that just changes your entire perspective. Because again, mm-hmm. like you said, I love that Sarah was able to be like, well, I understand, but she's got a point. So thank you for being the voice of wisdom there for Annie. I know that's yes. hard, but it's also a mark of really true friendship. So if you don't have yourself a friend that can call you out when you're maybe the one who might maybe be wrong. Yes,
no, I'm totally.
Just go find one. I know it's easier said than done, but truly. Okay. So my next question for you ladies is, Laughs and Littles has been like super successful in your very first less than a year now. And congratulations. I launched my podcast about the same time as you guys, and you just have totally like blown it out of the water. And I'm so excited for you guys, for Catholic podcasts to be this growing trend, this awesome, awesome thing. But I would love to hear from both of you about how podcasting has helped you in your vocation of motherhood.
Yeah, well, we know that you are also a fan of Jennifer Fulweiler.
Oh, yeah.
And so her book, Your Blue Flame, mm-hmm. that's kind of our frame of reference for whenever someone asks us, like, how do you make the time for something like that? Because, yeah, this is something that we love and we find easy and enjoyable. And it makes doing, you know, all the ordinary, mundane tasks of motherhood simpler, and like, yeah, it gives us new energy for those things. Because that is, yeah, that's the important work, our families, our homes, our vocation. But this, like, yeah, kind of brings it, it's giving us time to do something that we love that re-energizes us and yeah, helps us do those things better.
Oh man, I absolutely love Jennifer Fulweiler, and I have this like weird connection to her that she doesn't know who I am. But I lived in Austin, Texas, and so I remember like sometimes she'll post pictures of like where she goes to church, and like I went to that church, so like obviously we're BFFs. I mean, that's like that's what you need to be a BFF with someone, right? Like going to the same church. So anyways, that's my connection to Jennifer Fulweiler, but I'm like, I know where you went to church. I sat there too. Anyways, but yeah, I absolutely love her book, Your Blue Flame, and her book, One Beautiful Dream, was just like the first time I really read a book that made me laugh and cry. And I felt like somebody understood what I was living. I was so grateful for that. So I totally understand what you mean about that, like re-energizing and just giving life, because I don't know. I also talk with spoken women periodically, mm-hmm. and I think that we're called to create, and that's what God did, right? He created the earth and we're made in his image and likeness. And so having some sort of creative outlet is just such a beautiful, beautiful testament to the fact that he's our creator and he's infinitely good. So mm-hmm. I absolutely, absolutely love that you're pulling Jen Fulweiler in, and just there's so many cool things happening right now. Okay. Annie, do you have anything you wanted to add about how podcasting mm-hmm. helps
nope.
you? Sure. Covered it all.
Gave me that one.
Okay. So basically I'm starting to understand, if this was a test, you guys would need to be paired up as one test taker. How this works?
I don't know. We surprise each other a lot still though. Mostly I surprise Sarah. Yeah. Being crazy.
I like that. Everybody needs a little, everybody needs a crazy friend, and everybody needs a friend who can call them out. So it looks like you guys just balance each other perfectly.
Exactly.
Perfect. Okay. Well, I'm going to ask you to be vulnerable for a minute, which is something that I think, it's easy to do fakely on social media. So I'm going to ask you guys mm-hmm. to do it for real, because mm-hmm. this is a really hard question that actually, so many times, people might post something about this on social media, but it's not, it's probably not the truth, whatever someone says. So, I know. So, as Catholic moms, you guys are known for real talk about real mom topics. We said that already. You are going to share the truth of your friendship with people, and that means sharing intimate stories about your life and how things are going for you. But what has been the biggest challenge of Catholic motherhood for you?
Charting. Well, and for me, Sarah and I are both converts, but when I first got married, that we were on birth control. And so we completely had to shift from the mindset that once you're married, you can't just have sex all the time, which makes sense when you think about it, because nothing is good all of the time. And there is temperance and chastity that can be applied to all situations. But, and Sarah has asked me this before, so when you were on the pill, did you just have sex every day? how does that work? I was no, because no one actually wants to have sex every day, but you want to do it whenever you want to do it mm-hmm. and you have the freedom. But now when I add up all the days in a month, I'm well, that's probably about the same. You just have to schedule it a little more, but,
makes it more intentional.
Yes, exactly. But that shift has been hard. And, like you said, we love NFP, we're actually recording an NFP episode and doing that one soon, because we are passionate about sharing our stories with how postpartum charting has been different and challenging. I've had cervical tropions, and which means an excess of mucus, so just mucus all the time, every day. Which what's
that? That is not helpful for charting.
And
any method.
No, exactly. And my husband and I are at the point right now where he's still kind of at the beginning of his career, and we are at three kids capped. So we're open to life for sure. And Lord, your will. And we're being diligent, but we do not want any more children at the moment. So it is, yes. Maybe this is not the hardest part of my Catholic motherhood in general. Maybe it's just happening right now, but right now that's what's hard.
Hey, I have to be honest. I think a lot of Catholic women are really struggling with that. I mean, this past year has been hard, and we've all had to navigate significant changes, and it's so hard sometimes to know what God's will for your family is. Mm-hmm. And so I happen to have a child who has some behavioral needs, and that makes parenting very challenging, and it makes mm-hmm. giving attention to that child really difficult. And it, and adding, I can't just I'm only 30, so I'm on my fourth, and like I can't just like keep popping them out till I'm 50. You know, I can't do it. It's not, you know, that specific child has these, and so those are the sort of things that we have to discern, and that's like that is challenging because it's easy to be like, well, feel the baseball team. That's the Catholic way of life, but that's also not what our church says, right? Yeah, Sarah's shaking her head at me. Right, you agree with me, and you're on your fourth. Too. You're pregnant with your fourth, right, Sarah? So maybe you can give some insight into that too.
Annie and I had a conversation about that one time because she went through this thing of I'm just sharing more of your challenges.
I don't know what you're going to say. Go ahead.
You guys are like, the same person. That's what I've learned.
That a bigger family is a holier family, or like if you have more kids, you're holier somehow. And I was like, where'd you pick that up? Like, I don't think I picked that up.
Instagram? I don't know.
I know.
But like, isn't that true that there is this belief that if you have a big, like if you have like 12 kids or 9 kids or 8 kids or whatever a big number is to you, to me, 4 happens to be a big number. So, you know, if you have 4 kids, like then you're like a good Catholic family. But like, I've also experienced miscarriage and, you know, secondary infertility. And like, there are all of these things that somehow like don't get talked about. And it's really strange that, but because of that, like lack of attention to these other things or these smaller sized Catholic families, like it's easy to maybe fall into that mindset that a bigger family is somehow holier or like more Catholic. I always
more productive.
Yeah.
Her thing was like, they're more productive. And I was like, I guess like literally they have produced more people, but like, What are they like accomplishing on the day to day? I'm sure it's like chaotic.
Well, and I was actually just talking to my girls about this. I was like, we're about to have another baby and the baby needs attention. So after dinner today, I looked at my husband and I was like, I need a break. I'm going upstairs. I'm taking a shower. And so I went upstairs to my room and then we have a ensuite. So like, you know, I have my own bathroom, which is great, but I locked the door to my bedroom because the last thing I wanted was the children sitting on my bed waiting for me to come out of the shower. It's like, I know from experience that this will happen. And so I'm getting ready to take my shower and one of the girls is knocking on the door complaining about how my husband wouldn't give her an M&M. And I was like, I don't want to know what's going on.
I'm unavailable.
I know. So it was funny to think about that. But I was like, girls, when I say I need a break, I mean I need a break. Don't come to me. Like, you got to respect that because we're about to be a big family. There's about to be 6 people living here, which is more than we've ever had. So let's, you know, like let's focus on setting some norms here. But yeah, it is so easy to fall into that belief that like bigger is better or holier or more Catholic, which I actually laugh every time I hear people say like, oh, they're super Catholic. No, they're just Catholic. You know, there doesn't have to be this perceived, you might be more invested in your faith. You might be living
more
the faith more faithfully or more fortunate.
It just happened to me.
It's quite possible. Some of us experience that. But yeah, you don't have to have, you know, a baseball team. You just don't, which I find really reassuring. So those of you who are also struggling with charting, who are listening to this episode, just know you're not alone. I know that doesn't fix it for you, but still, you're not alone.
Yeah. Yeah, I would say charting too for me, because that feels like the thing that's most specific to like Catholic motherhood. Otherwise, because yeah, NFP like charting is not first on my brain right now because I am pregnant.
Exactly. It's the easy part.
Yeah, I'm just like, okay, don't have to think about that for 6 months. But yeah, otherwise with like just motherhood, I feel like it's figuring out parenting stuff while I've been having babies about every 2 years. So, like, you know, the oldest one is always my first, like, what is it like to have a 5-year-old now? And then like, mostly it's my crazy strong-willed 3-year-old right now who is like making me crazy and keeping me humble
always. That's
on the regular.
Serve you up a big old slice of humble pie.
Yeah. She like can create a power struggle out of anything. And I'm just like, okay, you're going to hold your pee for 45 minutes. I don't know why, but.
And you're screaming, I have to pee. Mm-hmm. Why?
Okay. My one of my children, the one that has some behavioral struggles, was very much like that to the extreme. And people don't realize how, so like she has a specific diagnosis now, thank goodness, seriously. But, you know, and like we've been able to get her help. So things have gotten a lot better for us. But people don't realize, like my husband and I seriously have PTSD from potty training her. Like we, no, honest to goodness, we do. This kid refused to poop in the potty forever. And finally it got to the point, it was like, okay, like she's just willfully holding it to the point that she's hurting herself. So I don't know this. She was in pain. We had to do this. Don't judge. But she was refusing to poop and it had been like 3 days and she wouldn't go. She wouldn't even sit on the potty. So we had to give her an enema, at home enema.
There is no judgment. Because I do enemas on the regular and I've gotten her to try it. Okay.
No. You wanted this to be real.
Okay. Well, there we go. So anyways,
are totally normal.
Thank you. But like, it felt so bad because like we felt so terrible about it, but it was like, we tried everything. Like we offered her every trick. We followed every advice in the book. And yet she wouldn't go, to the point that she's making herself sick. Yeah. And we're like, she's going to have like an impacted intestine or like, you know, she's not going to be able to pass this if we wait any longer and she's not going to do it. And so like, I mean, this kid could seriously, she would still be holding it all these years later if we had just let it go. And so, we gave her an enema and then she realized that she would much rather be in control than have us be in control. So anyway, that's my real life story about training. But like my husband and I were like, I remember like having to lay out towels and like, it was bad. It was bad, guys. So we talked about that the other day and now we're potty training our youngest and she's just like so compliant. It's weird. We're like, okay, at least this gets easier. Maybe. I don't know. But yeah, we have so much like anxiety and stress from having a super, super, super strong-willed kid. Like it wears you down for sure. So I'm with you, Sarah, even though you hopefully you don't have to give your children enemas.
Yeah. Well, this is another thing that I go to Annie for advice on a lot because Annie is like on top of behavioral stuff. And I feel like I'm getting like pushed around, like walked over by my three, because my husband and I are both like, you know, like always kind of trying to find the peaceful route, like mediate, you know, like let's like get through this as most, you know, and then it's like, okay, we're coming up against a, like a wall and it's, I'm like, okay, I'm not good at this. And it doesn't feel good to be not good at something. And I'm like, I've had a 3-year-old before, but it's just totally different. So.
Exactly. Yeah. And I think that's one of my challenges too, is that every child, despite the fact that you like feel like you finally figured it out, by the time one moves out of a phase, the next one comes into the phase and it's different. Like, why? Why do you have to like, why do you have to refuse to eat this specific food when that was like all your sister ate when she was in this phase? Like, it just, you know, you think you're like, okay, we've got this down. Like we can get this kid to eat, you know, like carrots and peas and pineapple. And we can call those like fruits and veggies. But then the next one comes along and they will only eat like bananas. And you're just like, I'm not used to buying this many bananas. I'm used to buying carrots, peas, and pineapple. Like it just, anyways, that's kind of a bad example, but seriously, I totally get what you're saying. And hopefully everybody else understands what I'm trying to say too. Okay. So my last question for you is just really simple. And I promise there are no wrong answers, but what are each of yours? You have to answer separately, both of you. I'm not letting you get away with one answer here. Pull out my teacher hat. I passed the exam. But what are your favorite things about Catholicism? Like what is it? And you're both converts, so I'm actually super curious about this.
I was really attracted to the aspect of the global church. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when I was learning about the Catholic faith, you know, my husband announced that he was converting 9 months into our marriage, which we go into this whole story. Sarah and I on our show in our conversion episode and how he and I just like fought nonstop. You can imagine with that one. But what really stuck out to me when I started learning about the faith was how alive and well the church was. Mm-hmm. Because growing up, it just seemed like I thought there were no more Catholics. And like, it's just,
that is so sad.
You know, like it just like, cause I knew two Catholics in my whole world. And just seeing how the Catholic Church has undergone so much, you know, internal corruption and destruction, but the fact that she is, you know, Jesus's established church is what makes her still standing today. And when I found out that, like all around the world, that all the mass readings are the same for that day, that global church aspect, that really blew my mind.
It is so cool. And you know what? So my husband converted too. And mm-hmm. I grew up Catholic and then had like this big reversion. But I was just talking to somebody about how like this feeling that the Catholic Church is dead is unfortunately, I mean, it's easy to see how you get there, but I feel like there are so many Catholics that are coming forward, and there's this real like grassroots movement with things like podcasts and things like Nancy from Catholic Sprouts, who's like, you know, trying to build the domestic church with, you know, what we're putting out there is Catholics, especially women, which is just because I only follow Catholic women on Instagram, apparently, with a few priests scattered in there. But you know, like there's this real movement to make visible the fact that the church overcomes obstacles. There's no mm-hmm. obstacle so great that she can't overcome. And so I think like I see this the start of this amazing movement, and I'm so excited to be raising a family in this time in the church, because like there's this hunger, there's this thirst for what is the truth? Why is it? How do we teach our kids this? And like one family at a time is all it takes. I mean, Jesus did it with 12. So like he's got more than 12 families happening along right now. So I think mm-hmm. we're going to be okay as a church, but you know, I totally, totally understand that the universality of the church is just a beautiful draw. Okay. Sarah, what about you? What is your favorite thing about Catholicism?
Yeah, for me, it is the sacraments.
Okay. Yes.
Especially reconciliation. Mm-hmm. And I think like, as we're talking about the challenges of motherhood and parenting struggles, I see that play out, especially of like, these concrete channels of grace that the church offers me. Just kind of like so I've been Catholic for 5 years now and getting into a rhythm of like, or like having a rhythm of examination of conscience, receiving absolution, absolution. I don't know. Just pretty much every time I walk away from confession, I'm like, that's amazing. That's just kind of amazing miracle thing that just happened there.
And it is.
Yeah. And yeah, I feel like I'm also growing in my devotion to the Eucharist. But yeah, the grace, like my third daughter is named partly after Chiara Corbella Petrillo. Mm-hmm. So Italian laywoman, lived really beautifully, died really young. Anyway, she would ask Jesus for the grace to live grace. And that, I think about that a lot after I've received communion, just kind of praying that. And yeah, I think that's grown my love for the sacraments, just these channels of grace that the church gives us.
That is so beautiful. And it's making me kind of laugh because my oldest daughter is 7. So that's the age of reason. Although I have to be honest, she's been reasonable for a lot longer than just the past half year. I know the church knows what it's talking about when it says the age of reason as far as knowing right from wrong. But she's known. She's known when she was pushing buttons. She knows.
lower culpability, but full awareness.
Yeah. Exactly. But she's preparing for her first reconciliation. And so I'm good friends with a priest. And so she asked if she could go to him. Otherwise, she would have already made it. So she gets to go this month and have her first reconciliation. And then she's so excited for her first Holy Communion. I told her I'd take her shopping for a pretty white dress. And she's like, you know, a little princess. So she's totally all about that. But she's like talking to her about the faith and explaining the sacraments to her has been so fun. And it just really helps me even to have this like understanding and new awareness of how beautiful they are. So I love that. Those are great answers. Mm-hmm. And you both answered on your own. I'm so proud of you. I love it. All right. Well, that is all we have time for this interview, but I really have enjoyed talking to you so much, Annie and Sarah. Thank you so much for being on Heart Home Faith.
Thank you so much for having us.
Oh, it's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much for tuning in to this episode of Heart Home Faith. I hope you enjoyed my conversation with Annie and Sarah about Catholic vocation of motherhood as much as I did. I can't wait to bring you even more great content. In the meantime, please, please go ahead, leave a review on Apple Podcasts, subscribe, share posts to your stories on Instagram, help me to grow. And you can also follow Annie and Sarah at Laughs and Littles on Instagram. Have a blessed week, and until next time, may you feel as loved as you are.